So in lieu of our regular music news segment today, we've cleared a space for a special guest who's come in to chat with us for a few minutes. The name Joe Boyd is going to be familiar to music heads, but even if you don't know the name, chances are you are familiar with at least some of the music and artists that he has touched over the years. Without Joe Boyd, the world may never have had a Pink Floyd, whose first single, Arnold Lane, was produced by him in 1967. He worked extensively with the likes of Fairport Convention and Richard Thompson, Sandy Denny, Vashti Bunyan, and others in the British folk rock scene in the 1960s. And in the 80s, he produced the likes of R.E.M. and Billy Bragg and 10,000 Maniacs. And he's the founder of the respected Hannibal record label. So what brings him to town? Well, it's his intimate connection to the one major musician in his career that I haven't mentioned yet. And that's Nick Drake. Joe Boyd produced Drake's first two albums and more recently has organized a series of Nick Drake tribute concerts and now a tribute CD called Way to Blue, named for the beloved Nick Drake song, is out. And Joe Boyd will preside over an event tonight at the Cedar Cultural Center, saluting Nick Drake, showing clips from the most recent tribute concert, and also welcoming some local musicians to play some of Nick Drake's music. Joe Boyd, welcome to The Current.
Great to be here.
So can you tell me first about your first encounter with Nick Drake's music and the man himself? How did you first come upon him?
The bass player of Fairport Convention, wonderful guy called Ashley Hutchings, heard him at a concert where Fairport played, and then they all went home and Ashley stayed to hear everybody else. And he heard this guy and he just went up and got his phone number and came into the office the next day, handed me a piece of paper, said, "This guy's pretty interesting. I think you ought to call him." And so I did. And he came in, brought me a tape, and put it on my tape recorder. And I was just stunned. It was just so interesting, so unlike anything else that was around at the time. And I played it 3-4 times through. It was, I think, 3 or 4 songs. And called him up the next day and said, "Come on in, let's talk," and we started our project together.
You know, it's kind of hard for us to imagine today, you know, when Nick Drake has become such a celebrated figure in these decades past his passing, and there are so many musicians and artists who have been influenced by him in one way or another. It's so hard for us to imagine exactly what was unique about him. You know, in this day and age when we have whispery singer-songwriters all over the place using unusual tunings, what was it about Nick Drake that you heard that was so remarkable?
In 1969, when I guess it was 68, winter of 68-69, when I heard him, singer-songwriters were very Dylan-influenced, and in England particularly there was a lot of Burt Jantz influence and Donovan influence, and it was very this weird mixture of American country and blues mixed with English harmonies and English folk, traditional folk music. And here's this guy, he has almost none of that in his music. I mean, his music is very English, but not folk music English. It's like descended from even Noel Coward or Flanders and Swan or something. And I discovered in years later that it all comes down through his mother, who wrote songs. And there's a record of her, Molly Drake, that's actually out now on a very small label.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she played the piano, and she was in very much a very English sort of parlor song style. And she wasn't trained, and she had a very unusual way of shaping chords. And I think Nick's complex tunings and his unusual way of tuning the guitar was really an attempt to recapture the harmonic world that he'd grown up in. And he also, you know, was very well educated, knew the romantic poets very well, had studied Shakespeare, and his lyrics are very well constructed and literate and sophisticated. Even if they're very narrowly personal, their simplicity is deceptive. They're really, really good lyrics.
Tell me about the genesis of the Way to Blue tribute concerts then. So there was sort of one that came off several years ago, and you didn't really know that it was going to go any further than that. But you tell the story in the CD that's recently been released that's of these tribute performances that it kind of took on a life of its own after a while.
Yeah, I was asked to pull this concert together for a place that I really like a lot called the Birmingham Town Hall, which was it's a beautiful old hall in the city of Birmingham, which is near where Nick grew up. And they liked the idea of having a concert dedicated to his music. And I talked to Robert Kirby, who wrote the original string arrangements, and he said, "Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that." Mm. And so we put together a band, including Danny Thompson, who's the bass player, who was with Pentangle, but also played with Nick on mm-hmm. the first record, and a bunch of other wonderful musicians, and seven string players, and then four male singers and four female singers, and each one did two songs, one in each half. And it was a structure that worked, and people just thought it was a magnificent concert. And I was kind of thrilled because it turned out much better than I was expecting. And so we got invited to do a series of concerts a year later around Britain, and the BBC filmed the London concert. And by that time, we sort of had a formula, or at least a structure, with a band and string players, so we could sort of swap singers in and out. And we ended up recording a few of the concerts.
So tonight at the Cedar Cultural Center, it's an event that's a salute to Nick Drake that you're going to preside over. You're going to show some of the footage from the last Way to Blue concert, but also welcome some local musicians. Haley Bonner is going to be on hand. Mason Jennings will be there. Steve Tibbetts with Wendy Lewis providing some vocals. So they're going to sing a song or two each, I guess. And then, but you're going to take questions, I guess.
I will take questions. All the things you always wanted to know and about Nick Drake, if I can answer them.
But this is really kind of a big week for Nick Drake fans, because there's this event tonight at the Cedar, and then tomorrow night it's a showing at the Trilon Micro Cinema that is like Cedar Night at the Trilon. It's going to be showing a documentary called A Skin Too Few, which features interviews with fellow musicians and friends and family and associates of Nick's, and you're featured in the film. Sadly, there's no footage of Nick Drake in existence, am I right? It's just his music and some photographs.
Nick Drake actually appeared on British television once.
Once?
And
I've never seen it.
No, neither have I.
well, then it must be hard to see.
Yeah, because people have looked through the warehouse, the files, the archives of Granada Television, and nobody's ever found the air check.
Somebody erased the tape then, right?
Something like that.
Yeah,
or
probably.
It's just got misfiled.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the problems with archives. But A Skin Too Few, this film that's going to be shown tomorrow night, mm-hmm. first of all, obviously, a documentary about somebody where there's no footage is very unpromising.
Well, it's problematic at least.
It's problematic.
Yeah.
I was very skeptical about the idea that anybody could do an effective documentary about Nick. In the mid-90s, I got a call from the BBC, and they had their top documentary unit, and this young director with lots of great ideas, and they came to see me, and they wanted to do a documentary about Nick. And so Gabrielle Drake, Nick's sister, and I agreed. We would collaborate, and we would be interviewed, and mm-hmm. et cetera. And we felt they had a really good handle on how to transcend the problems of the talking heads and no footage mm-hmm. and all that.
Okay.
And in the middle of this process, I got a call from a Dutch guy who wanted to make a film for Dutch television. And I felt, well, you know, it's my duty to kind of keep spreading the word and make sure that more and more parts of the world know about Nick. And so I said, sure. And the guy was really annoying. and he made me do silly things, you know, like getting in and out of a taxi cab and being filmed and things like that. And anyway, so then the BBC film was finished and it was aired.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. It was all the things that are wrong with those kinds of documentaries. Mm-hmm.
Talking heads and shots of still photographs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I got an invitation to a screening of the Dutch film.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. It's just wonderful. And
okay.
I can't really tell you why, but I screened it twice in New York last weekend, and I brought the 35mm print with me in my luggage here to Minneapolis.
You're kidding.
And it's wonderful. It's really wonderful, I have to say. And everybody who came just went, wow.
Yeah. Well, that's tomorrow night at the Trilon Micro Cinema, and it's called A Skin Too Few, documentary about Nick Drake. And tonight is the event at the Cedar Cultural Center, hosted by Joe Boyd, who will show some clips from the Way to Blue concerts. The CD is now out, and it's got really wonderful performances by the likes of Robin Hitchcock and Vashti Bunyan. Teddy Thompson is on there. I've got to play, as we go out here, something by Scott Matthews, who's a musician that I was not familiar with, but he does a wonderful version of Place to Be. Joe Boyd, it was really wonderful talking to you, and thank you for coming in.
Great pleasure.
Tonight at the Cedar Cultural Center, we've got all the information about the event. Again, featuring contributions by Mason Jennings and Haley Bonner live. as well as Steve Tibbetts with Wendy Lewis doing a couple of songs there. All that information at thecurrent.org. This is Scott Matthews doing Nick Drake's Place to Be, and it's on the new Way to Blue, the Songs of Nick Drake CD, presented by Joe Boyd. It's on 89.3 The Current.